I've tried in vain to remember when I first became a sunbeam. A few weeks ago, after speaking to a group of women in my home state, a lady told me that she remembered when she was 8 years old, she held me on her knee while my mother was a sunbeam band leader. It was during those early sunbeam years that I first knew God wanted me to work for him as a missionary. I remember that a missionary was coming to our town. I don't know who the missionary was, but everybody was talking about a missionary. So I asked my parents, well, what is a missionary anyway? They tried to explain to me how there were children in other countries who didn't know about Jesus, and that a missionary went to tell those children about him. I said, well, that's what I want to be when I grow up. From that time on, I thought that every program in the Sunbeam Band was meant especially for me, all the stories, because they were about what I hope someday to do. During those years in the Sunbeam Band, I remember how much we enjoyed the songs. That was before the time I knew I couldn't sing. I remember we enjoyed singing Jesus Loves the Little Children, all the children of the world, yellow, red, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. I used to sing that at the top of my voice. It was during the sunbeam years once when my mother blacked my face and dressed me to represent a black child in the Woman's Missionary Society meeting. During these years in working in Africa, at times I've remembered, as I've been teaching children with black faces, I've remembered when once I had a black face.
Another little girl was a member of a sunbeam band in Missouri. In those years, she felt a keen interest in children of the world who did not know Jesus. The Lord led her to be a nurse, a dedicated nurse, a nurse whose life was dedicated to medical mission work. She went out to China. She stayed there until the communists came into that great country. And even after most of the missionaries had had to leave, she felt led to stay at her post in the hospital there in Wuchao, China, with Dr. William Wallace. After he lost his life and his body was buried, she turned homeward then, coming back to take a new assignment, and then went out as one of the early medical missionaries to the then new mission field of Indonesia, Miss Everly Hayes.
It was not until 1940 that I first faced the strong call to the mission field, the need for missionary nurses. But the call, though definite then, started when I was in Sunbeam Band. My mother was very interested in missions, and even before we had a Sunbeam Band organized in our church, she ordered the mission magazines. We read the stories in the home and foreign fields. Then, as she felt the need for the children of our church to have missionary education, she herself organized the Sunbeam Band. It was in the Sunbeam Band that I first read stories of Lottie Moon, of all of the missionaries in China particularly, as I went to Ridgecrest in 1940. It was, and felt a call to mission field. It was just a culmination of the interest that I had found in missions as a sunbeam. It is my privilege now to have an organization at Missouri Baptist Hospital of student nurses who call themselves the Everly Hayes Mission Volunteer Band, who hope someday to follow in my steps going to the mission field.
The dream God placed in the hearts of early mission pioneers for missionary organizations for children continues to be realized around the world. Devoted leaders seek to help children everywhere to learn about world friends, to help them love the Lord Jesus, and to want their friends to love Jesus too. Across the world from me and you, what do you think What do the children think and do? Over the wide world, children grow, finding out things they need to know, wondering, too, about you and me, faraway children they can't see. Friendly thoughts can travel far over the world where children are. We and they, and here and there, all of us learning to love and share.
Thank you.
suffer little children to come unto me rings out Christ's challenge to every preacher, every adult member of the churches throughout the land. Suffer the children to come unto me. Close to my heart let the little ones be. The door of my kingdom is open and free. Suffer the children to come unto me. Suffer the children where'er they may be, out of the homeland or over the sea. They are my jewels, and this is my plea. Suffer the children to come unto me. The glad crusade of Sunbeam Bands is marching on.
Let us stand and sing. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
I sure got to stay around my neck. I can't even get back here. I sure got to stay around my neck. Hold us a second. Let me get this off my neck.
This is going out of stage.
Jesus, blessed Jesus, our she's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got you and me in his hand. He's got you.
In the opening session of this annual meeting, we greeted the Honorable W.R. Talbert, Vice President of Liberia, West Africa, in our first session this morning. Tonight, we're going to have a different kind of welcome, for we're going to welcome Dr. W.R. Talbert, President of the Baptist Convention of Liberia, and Vice President of the Executive Committee of the Baptist World Alliance and of the Baptist World Alliance itself. He is honored and known around the world for his Baptist leadership. He brought one of the major addresses at the 10th Annual Congress of the Baptist World Alliance in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, this past summer. We're happy to have Dr. Talbert come to us for many reasons. We're happy to have him come because he represents a country very dear to our hearts. Just a few months ago, we entered Liberia with some missionaries to help in the Baptist work there, established many, many years ago. But I think most of all tonight, we are happy to have Dr. Talbert to bring the message on the evening when we celebrate the 75th anniversary of Sunbeam Band because of his great love and interest in children. He has 8 children of his own, but he has a record unequaled by anyone I know, for he has 20 adopted children, in addition to his own 8 children. I wouldn't dare try to tell you about all 28 children tonight, nor would he. But I shall tell you about one, Rudolph, an adopted boy, born without arms. Dr. Talbert saw this little lad out in the bush country when he was 8 years old. Dirty, unkempt, uncared for, he talked to the boy, and then he talked to the parents of the boy, for he had found the lad to be a bright one, and he wanted to take him home and give him an education. And so he asked the parents of Rudolph if he might go home with him. Permission was given, and the little 8-year-old boy went to live in the home of Dr. W.R. Talbert. He's a grown young man today, I'm told, can write, ride a bicycle, do most anything that a boy can do with both arms. He does it with his feet. When I think of that boy, the care that he has had in the home of Dr. and Mrs. W.R. Talbert, I know that we have chosen the right speaker for this night following our remembrance of the anniversary of our children's organization, the Sunbeam Band. And so, Dr. Talbert, we welcome you to this platform tonight. And we shall hear you gladly and prayerfully. And we'll ask you to take our greetings and love and best wishes to your Baptist people when you return to Liberia, West Africa. Dr. Talbert.
Mr. President, officers and members of the Women's Missionary Union, brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, as I stand before you in an attempt to speak to you in response to the gracious invitation of your amiable and charming president, first extended me when it was my greatest delight to meet her at the historic session of the 10th Congress of the Baptist World Alliance in Rio de Janeiro in June last, I humbly recognize the honor which has thus been conferred on me and the privilege afforded to participate on your program of this session of your union, to observe your deliberations, to listen to the melodious and animating singing, and the soul-stirring and inspiring testimony and messages, and to enjoy the rich reward and fellowship which this occasion is pregnant with. I'm not oblivious of the fact that this honor and privilege which today is lavished upon me is due and intended for the constituency which is my great fortune and honor to represent, the Liberia Baptists in particular, and the Baptists of Africa in general. In gratefully acknowledging their esteem for this consideration, it is with extreme pleasure that I discharge the incumbent duty in conveying to you most cordial fraternal greetings and heartiest felicitations as you engage yourselves in the activities of this session of your union, which there is no doubt will be one of historic importance and will adjoin upon having achieved outstanding and extraordinary accomplishments. My dear friends, I do not have to remind you of the times in which we are living, replete with strain and stresses, tensions, misunderstandings, mistrust, suspicions, restlessness, insecurity, and problems that baffle and perplex those whose prime duty it is to solve them. An age when there is much warring between spiritual and material forces. An age in which the proponents of ideologies subtly and militantly persist in drawing others in the whirlpool of their way of thinking and action. Accordingly, it is timely that when Christian men and women congregate as we have done, pensive of and concerned over the conditions of this thermonuclear revolutionary age, should recourse in prayer to our Heavenly Father in all sincerity and with fervency for his ever guidance and directing clue out of this labyrinth which man left to himself can never be let out. I do not doubt that you perceive the need of the stillness of the turbulent waves of the world by him whose gentle words can suddenly produce instant and permanent peace. Neither can I imagine that my belief is unfounded, that your unwavering faith in that great tranquilla can or will not impel you at the hour of extremity to cry out, as did the perturbed and distressed disciples on the tempestuous sea, "Master, care thou not that we perish?" Then will the sure response be, "Peace, be still." Yes, verily the Prince of Peace, and he alone can bring the needed peace to this our one troubled and disquieted world. I'm afraid that human ingenuity in producing enough formula to adequately solve the problems of our age will fail. A complete reliance accordingly on that source to produce a peaceful world order is indeed a mistake, to say the least. In my opinion, therefore, the sooner world leaders come to the stark realization of this fact, the better it will be for our civilization and mankind. I was requested in addressing you to confine my thoughts in a special manner to the subject, the hope for a changing Africa. Our thoughts must now center around a continent ranking second in size among the seven continents of the world, covering an area of about 11,500,000 square miles and having a population estimated at 198 million persons. Of this total number of inhabitants, according to available statistics furnished by the 1961 World Almanac, besides other groups, there are Christian 34,124,315 persons, Muslims 87,912,000, primitive people 75 million. We associate in our thoughts when thinking about this vast continent, its lakes, rivers, and the ocean that dash against its shores. Its